What do you want people to see in you? Well, it's our heart's desire that in the coming year, people will see the light of Jesus in our lives here at Freedom Church. Join us now as Pastor Tim brings our first message of the year from John chapter 11.
Very, very good today. Just wanted to say it's good to have Sister Denise Locke back with us. She's been out many, many months being a caregiver to Stan's mom, and Stan's mom passed away over the holidays. Denise, it's good to have you back here in the service today, and have Stan back also. He's been out a whole lot also. It's good to have you. Got Kara and Spencer back. They had a baby. Yeah. All these people have babies, now you got to lay out of church for 3 months. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm kidding. But it's so good to have all these back. It says through the years, but people that I know and they apply for a job that requires extensive background checks. You know, I get these calls from time to time and say, "Do you know so and so?" You know, but what they ask me is very interesting. You know, that they really want to know. Not really what they say, but what they are doing. They really don't want to know what they really say about things. They really want me to tell them who they really are and what they do, and you know, how they handle themselves and how they respond to things. They want to know the character of the person or what I really see in them. Now, we often say this thing. I've said it before, and I've said it a whole bunch. I don't care what other people think about me. You ever said that before? Not yet. I know we have. You say, "I don't care what people think about me or say about me. I don't care." For non-believers, sure, why should they care? But for believers, we should care. We should care. We should care a whole bunch. We should care a whole bunch. You know, it shouldn't dictate what we do unless it's true. Unless someone speaks something and it's true, we go, "Well, that's right. Maybe I need to change that." We won't say what people say dictates our actions. You see, that attitude is fine if it's coming truly from a humble heart, walking with the Lord. But I have a feeling most of the time, 99.9%, it comes from a heart of pride. I don't care what people think about me. It's almost like we enjoy saying it. I've been there. I enjoy saying it. I heard someone say something about me. I don't care what people say about me. Makes me want to bow up and stuff. I scare people when I bow up. I have a feeling it comes from a heart of pride. Have a feeling. Let me ask you this question. If someone sent messengers to your house or anywhere to check on you, if someone said, let's say this person over here sent some messengers to where you live, house, work, vacation, whatever, what message would they return back to this person that was asking? Think about that for a moment. What would they find? What would they find? If someone sent some messengers to where you live and they bring a report back, what would that report look like? What would it look like? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. 1-6. I want you to stand with me this morning as we read God's word. Matthew 11. It says here, "Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?' Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and people that stutter can speak. And the poor have good news are brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me.' Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Say amen if you believe that. Amen. You be seated. Well, we have some scripture here that's really good. If we find John the Baptist, he is questioning, is Jesus the true Messiah? You know, he's locked up in a prison now, and that had to be very hard for John the Baptist because he was the one that was crying in the wilderness. He enjoyed his space, I'm sure. He was out there in that space, out there in that wilderness by himself and enjoyed himself. So I have a feeling that it was not the best place for him. I have a feeling it was very difficult for him to be in this a prison cell. But in the midst of that, he began to think about who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? It had to be a daunting for John to be able to sit there and begin to think about the things. You know, he really a priest, the coming of the Messiah. He says things like, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he spoke the truth. Here he is now in prison for this a message. Or having, he went against the authority of the land. And we could get in a whole scripture of that, but in this background of where he's at and the sermons that he had preached and the people he baptized, even the baptized out of Jesus himself. In this background, he asks this question, is Jesus the one? Is he the true Messiah? Is he really the one that I spoke about, the one that I baptized? Is he's really the one that the prophets said that is coming? And so sitting there, he begins to ask this question. Is Jesus the one? And in this past year, you might have asked those questions to yourself some this past year. We all have testimonies of this past year. It says that some is happy that it's gone. Someone says, hey, it was a great year. But wherever you find yourself, you might be here today and says, sometime last year, I said those words. You might not have been in a literal a prison, but you were in circumstances in your life that really said, you know, where are you, Lord? You said you were the true Messiah, and I don't sense that. I don't know where you are. And so you might be with John the Baptist here. You might be in that moment with him as strong and as powerful as Jesus taught wonderful good things about John the Baptist. Isn't it nice sometimes that we can come and step in with him and maybe say, Lord, are you the one? I'm almost like, if John the Baptist says it, then maybe it's okay for me to say it from time to time. But it's the way that John the Baptist, he deals with it. First of all, let's talk about why did John even have this in his heart? It just might have been that he had no doubt at all. It might have been that he just wanted to tell his disciples when he sent them away, go find out, is this really the one? That maybe it was something to strengthen their faith. That he had all the faith in the world. Yes, I know this is the one. It might be that he wanted to strengthen his disciples that were following him. Or it might have been is he was confused maybe also. Maybe he was looking for that Messiah that as many were looking that would come in on the white horse and set up his kingdom right there. Maybe he was confused also about this Messiah that doesn't kind of seem like Messiah that we thought that a Messiah is supposed to look like. We always, a lot of us, most of us, every one of us at times in our life, is we want to develop the type of Christ we want to serve. There are times in our life that it fits us, and so therefore this is the type of Jesus I'm going to serve for a while, because it fits into this box I have made. I'm not saying that John the Baptist was saying these things, but just maybe his faith, I know I was low. And that he was hoping that Jesus was what the world needed, and that maybe he just needed that confirmation for himself. Whatever his reasons, is he sends the messengers out and says, I'd go and find out. So they go. their sins. And the answer from Jesus is very wonderful and very good, and I like it a whole bunch. He says, you go back. I can just think about Jesus now, thinking about John the Baptist sitting in that prison. I can just think about for a moment that John the Baptist in that prison, and when his message just come to Jesus and says, I know that John wants to know if you're the one. He says, I'm thinking to myself, and Jesus thinking, oh, I love John the Baptist. You go back and tell him something. If he needs to know, I got a word for him. Yes, go back and don't tell John what I am saying, but tell him what I'm doing. Don't go and tell him what I'm talking about. Tell him what I'm doing. Don't tell him what I'm proclaiming. Tell him what is happening. That a blind can see, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, the lame they are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the poor are no longer neglected. The gospel is going even to the poor now, to the broken and to the undone for God's glory. This is what I'm doing. I don't want you to talk about what I'm saying necessarily. I want you to go and tell him what I'm doing. Many people say a whole lot of stuff, including myself. Many people, even on social media, is a perfect example. We can talk about God. We can talk about God at work. We can talk about God in our social classes. We can talk about a lot of things. But in reality, in this example that Jesus is giving, we can talk about a whole lot, but what really matters is what we're doing. What really matters is what we're doing. That's what really matters. Can messengers, can they go to our houses and places of work, our places of vacation, and come back and say, yes. Oh, Pastor Kim, he's touching the lost. He is serving the sick. He is nurturing the brokenhearted, the unwounded. Or the messengers come back and says, well, this is basically what he's saying that he's doing. Basically, this is what he's saying he's doing. Pastors are bad about getting around, and one of the things that pastors, I never do it. It says, what you running? You know, where we can bow up again, you know? What you running? How many numbers you got? You know? So what you do? Someone sent messengers to where you live. What you doing? If the messengers were sent to Freedom Church, is freedom proclaiming the good news of the gospel? Are we picking up the towel and serving, or devoting ourselves to prayer and conducting ourselves wisely to outsiders? Are we feeding the poor? Are we touching the brokenhearted? Oh, we just come and we serve ourselves and serve ourselves and serve ourselves. And we say a lot of wonderful good things. We even get up and raise our hands before the Lord. Even in worship, oh, we jump and holler and scream. And I enjoy all that. I don't scream a whole lot, but I like to jump and holler a little bit. And all that's well and good. And all that is what our response to Him is supposed to be. Is all these things. But in reality, are we to take in this holy ha 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 into a broken and a downward world, to a place that when we come out of here, we're actually doing something? That we're actually touching the brokenhearted. I would hope that if messengers were sent into Freedom Church, so we can say with fact that people are being set free at Celebrate Recovery. That gifts and food are provided for our Angel Tree families. The ones in retirement home are being visited and they're being provided for. That the ones that need something to eat are being fed at Cafe Central. That the prisoner is being visited. Truth is being preached. The brokenhearted is being a comforter. They comforted. The sinner is repenting. and becoming saved. I think for a moment, in our lives, if someone sent other messengers, what would they get to come back with? This is a new year. This is something at the beginning of the year that we can all say, let me take a look this past year. Let me take a look this past year and just see, did I say a lot or did I do a lot? Did I talk about a lot? Talk about I'm doing a lot? Or did I actually come to the place that I actually picked up a towel and served someone? That I actually was used by God in a way that just is amazing to me. You know, one of the things that I talk about is when you go eat at a restaurant is to find out his or her name. You're a server. I got a smart parishioner that always texts me, my server's name is so-and-so. He's not being smart, he's being faithful. But a Mark back there, a Williams, he always texts me from time to time, my server's name is whoever. What I'm saying is on social media, we say a lot. We can jab a lot, you know. Now, I told you before, if I see something and I want to, you know, I want to repost back to it, and my fingers begin to cramp up, you know. It's like, oh, I could got a good comeback right now. I could really just dive into somebody. But you know what's so sad about that? That's where the Christian church has been for so long. Is we fight with what we say and don't fight with what we do. Is we stand against everything, but we never pick up a towel. What to do? We stand against things like abortion. We stand strong. I'm against abortion. And we pound the pulpit. We pound it. I'm against abortion. And we pound the pulpit. When was the last time you went to Crossroads Pregnancy Center and I volunteered? These ladies find themselves in a situation that is not good. And we pound the pulpit. You better not abort that baby. And we turn away and we think about it anymore. Don't think about it at all anymore. When we can do by going to Crossroads Pregnancy Center and say, what can I do to help here? And we pound the pulpit and the other things that we stand so vehemently against. We say things like, they should have never taken the Lord's Prayer out of schools. We pound the pulpit. We stand firm. We get all mean face about things. When's the last time you gone to the principal at your school and volunteered and loved on some kids? When's the last time I've done that? When's the last time, like with abortion, you know, that you said, you know what? I'll foster. I'll adopt. Sign me up. You see, because we say a whole lot, and that Jesus wanted to make sure that John the Baptist understand, it's not what you say. It's not what I'm definitely saying here. It better match up. What I'm saying better match up with what I'm doing. Understand? It's what I can tell you what I'm doing. But I want you to go back in. I want you to tell them, what I'm saying. I want you to tell them what I'm doing. And so we have come to the place as a church with a bully, a pulpit at times. And we scream and holler and we... But we don't follow it up with anything. It's almost like if one of my children would come to me and say, I told them not to do anything. Why, Daddy? Because I told you so, boy. Sometimes that works. You know, I tell you, look at the light switch. Yeah, it's because I told you so, boy. It's almost like, and I would tell my children that because I told you so. But I want to follow her up, and this is why. I want them to be able to see in me, not that I, to talk a good gospel, not that I say the right things, but they actually see me living out the gospel. Isn't that a novel idea? My goodness, how far we have fallen from it. How far we have fallen from it. you go back and you tell them, this is what I see him doing. And guess what? In John the Baptist's mind and heart, it matches up with the Messiah that I preached that was coming. Yeah, that's what I talked about. He's coming. He's coming. This past year, we saw a lot of victories. We saw a ministry and celebrate recovery that really had a wonderful year of people being set free and under Grayson and Nicole's leadership and all their volunteers together. They came together and saw a lot of victories. A lot of things began to happen in the lives of people. I asked Ginger, I wish she was here today. I asked Ginger, but she's at work and her children are here. I think about her that she came to the Hope House that we have and these wonderful ladies that come and they are entrusted to us. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Is God trust us? When people walk in that are broken and undone, God trusts us. He trusts us to love and to serve and to be truthful and speak the truth. And Ginger, what a year she had. She came to the Hope House. She had lost her children. She was there and she would come every single Sunday. Sat right over there where her daughter is now. I would say your name, but it's one of those words I stutter on a lot. You need to change your name. And just God's glory. Provided her a job. Provided her a place to live. Provided her furniture to put in it. And every time I see her or talk to her, I say, Ginger, how you doing? She goes, Tim, God is so good. Because she realizes what she once was. And where she is now. Where she is now. I asked for a permission for this one. A year and a half ago. Three small children came into our lives. Aaliyah and Briley and John David. Little did we know how they would touch our heart and bless our heart. We went to the training and Heidi and I, you know, we were expecting a call of little baby, you know. Come and get this baby. Oh no, the Lord had to be hard on us. Called and says, Heidi called me and says, well, they just called. You want three? My mother lives with me. I said, yeah, bring about six. No. I said, do they fit our parameters that we have? They have to be a certain age and under. She said, yeah. Oh, no. We have made a commitment. If we're going to stand against something, we're going to make a difference. I said, all right. I was at a funeral. I was like, y'all just go ahead and just put me on in too. I just got through with a funeral. What's up? Well, just a few days later, these three precious children walked into our lives. We didn't know their parents at all. Then Casey walked into our lives. She had a time and she struggled. But in the midst of it all last year, something began to spark, something began to happen in her heart. And God has used her and used those children to change my children, to change us. In the midst of this, when we think that we are a blessing to someone, it's amazing how God just teaches us and blesses us. We had a time This three precious children walked in, and they left, and we stood there and said, "Hey, how are you? How are you?" You know, looking at me going, "My goodness, why couldn't we get in like, you know, Tom Cruise looking at daddy or something, you know?" Then they saw Heidi and says, "Ah, there we go, that's better." But it was on a journey that we had together. And it was a beautiful journey. And I'm so happy to say at the ending of this, even though it was hard, it was very difficult, Jesus found a way in. We let him in. Casey let him in. And in the midst of all this, just right before Christmas, she got the best present in all the world when they gave her children back to her. Every Sunday. I love and adore children. We have become a papa and a mimi now. It's kind of interesting. Because now we don't have to do anything. They want cookies? Sure. Great. We never give them sugar. Oh, sugar. Oh, it's fine. Just go ahead. What I'm saying to us today is that God is more interested in not what we say, but what we do. Amen. He is more interested in seeing us moving and touching and nurturing. He's more interested in seeing us really seeing those who need a walk with him. So my question is again, we have not arrived. There's so many things in our home that Heidi and I have talked about that the messengers went back with we report we would be ashamed of things that we need to change in our lives. It's not necessarily, it's not sin at all, but things in our life that we need to change. Well, I'm saying to us today again, where are you? Where am I in the midst of all of this? Life is hard, isn't it? Life can be difficult. For John the Baptist, he had preached a gospel and it landed him in prison. If you'll be faithful, if you will stand firm. One of the best things that I can say about the children was after just a few months, or I camping, I think. I didn't realize, you know, Riley, I love Riley. I really love Riley sometimes. I said, "Does anybody want to pray?" I think Farrell's on that trip. Riley says, "I do." He bowed his head and went, blah, 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 whatever he said. And we're just shocked. He even started crying. You know, it's wonderful to be used by God. It's wonderful. That's a song we're about to sing together, The Living Hope. Jesus is the living hope. But are we hope to people? Or do we just pound the bully of a pulpit? Are we truly hope and love? Casey would tell you, I didn't mince words with her through all this, but I built a relationship with her, but we could have those conversations again and say, all right. It says, blessed is the one that has no offense against me. Is maybe you don't agree with, John didn't agree with the way Jesus was doing things, that you know, John the Baptist was loud and obnoxious, maybe, and repent and keep him to God as a hand and stand in his ground, and that's okay, and we need to do all those things. But Jesus says, we can do all those things, but we're going to do it my way. We're going to do it my way. What is my way? It's not what we say, but it's what we do. We're going to do it my way. You can scream and holler all you want to and pound the pulpit all you want to, but unless you move and pick up a towel and begin to serve some folks, what you say is on sinking sand. On sinking sand. This year, let's make a move. And say, you know what, I'm not going to talk a whole lot. But I'm going to do. Now, there's children back there that needs to be ministered to. And when we say we need some ministry, some children's ministry, some ministers that go back, some passionate followers of Jesus, it won't be one of these things you look down the aisle and you go, here I am. I don't know how to teach, I don't know what to do, but I can love on some children. And when Celebrate Recovery comes along and says, hey, we need some people to help. Got it. I believe this year, I will be announcing a theme at the end of the month. It's going to be fun. We will enjoy ourselves. And we need to come in here and have worship like we had every single Sunday. You agree with that? Boy, it builds me up. It just lifts my spirit when we start to sing and praise God. And at Him, I raise my hands, I clap my hands. But when I leave here, I say, Lord, my prayer is that people will see what I do. Not what I just say. That's my hope and prayer today. That's my hope and prayer for Freedom Church. We have not arrived. We got a lot to do. And my prayer is that we will do it. I'm just saying. We're going to sing this together, Living Hope. And at this moment, the altar is always open. But if you feel the need to come, and I pray, I want you to come and kneel down before the Lord as we sing together and worship the Lord.